Blog Talk Radio.
Now, the premise of this album was very, very simple.
What's that?
To listen to messages of soul with a solid beat.
Make you move to the beat.
Now, the premise of this album was
to find a passing spaceship and get rescued by it.
Oh, come on.
Now, the premise of this album was,
well, the dance, actually. Dance business. The highest definition ever achieved in recording.
I'll even tell you what two of the secret ingredients are.
Pure electronic modern electronics.
That'll make them happy.
Pure electronic modern electronics.
Oh, lovely, can they want to get up and dance?
Pure electronic modern electronics.
Let's have a party, we're gonna go swinging.
Pure electronic modern electronics. Pure electronic modern electronics. Pure electronic modern electronics. Pure electronic modern electronics. Pure electronic modern electronics.
The highest definition ever achieved.
I'm gonna fight the whole world. I'm gonna fight the whole world. I'm gonna fight the whole world. Do you hear? The whole world.
I believe.
Pumped for that.
because no one already gives a fuck about this show, so why not give more of not a fuck of it? Because that's what we like to do. We love doing it, keeping it real. It's a full-time occupation. We're doing it still. That's what's happening in America. I'd like y'all to know the name of my team is Kirby Fuck It, with a PH, because everything I do with a PA is with a PH. I don't know. I'll give you a quick rundown of my team if you want, which you probably don't, so I'm not going to. I will let you know. First five picks were auto-draft because of a mishap at Balls Deep headquarters from one of the commissioners, Gandhi Malavanua, not taking any responsibility, and Alex Reeves has not taken any responsibility. So it's really up in the air. No one really knows. We do know that Sam Collins, the most regular guest of the show, has one of the worst teams ever assembled on the planet. We don't even know who half the players are. So thank you, ESPN Fantasy Baseball Gods, for whatever you did, because that's hilarious. We don't understand it, but it's all in your name on this beautiful Easter Sunday, which is the day that Jesus, he's like, what up? I ain't dead. I'm resurrected, and I got the wounds to prove it. And that's Jesus. So we're going to give a shout-out to Resurrected Jesus on Easter Sunday. We don't really have any real religious affiliates. I will note that America, actually, screw that. We're going to be making our new – we're going to make the last pick of the draft, or the second-to-last pick of the draft. I'm thinking about going with Omar Infante. Right now I only have Robinson Cano at second base, so it'd probably be a good idea. Oh, I do have Michael Young as well, who's now on the Philadelphia Phillies. I wish he was still a Texas Ranger, but you can't always get what you want. So we're gonna go with Omar Infante as the very first drafted player live on Blog Talk Radio on Earl Presents Tiny Amp versus Literary Underground. And, this week, Tiny Amp had a really fucking badass week. We did some really incredible stuff, like we always do. There was a Tiny Amp gathering at City O' City, actually on the brain of City O' City at the Deer Pile. We invaded a small space. We set up a merch table. Yours truly was the bouncer merch guy, like I generally am. Because I am a part of the label, but I just do the radio, the Blog Talk Radio show, and do the bounce merch stuff, because that's fun, because I don't actually make good music, but I do love making music, and if you make music, you too can be encouraged by people who just tell you, keep making your music, but we're not going to actually mass produce it, which, that's good. Thank you, Tiny Ant, for knocking me down a peg, because that's always needed. All right. Now we're going to make the last pick of the draft. I think I'm going to go with a pitcher because I love having great pitching staffs. We've got the first name that jumps out at me is Bud Norris. He is the starting pitcher for Houston. I don't know why. Ooh, Chad Billingsley. Yeah, we're going to go with Chad Billingsley, last pick of the draft. Balls Deep draft is now over. I'd like to thank everyone involved. Wow, that was really uneventful. I'd like to thank you, America, for sticking around and enjoying one of the first blogs. Oh, my gosh. Hello? Hello? Bonjour? Caller?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Oh, Bud Smith. How are you?
Yeah, what's going on? I didn't realize who pulled me on. I was fucking reading some crap online while listening to you, simultaneously. It's one of those multitasking. Yes, multitasking, doing multiple things and doing none of them very well.
Man, right? I mean, just trying to do early started fantasy baseball draft at the same time I'm doing a blog talk radio show is maybe one of the hardest things I've ever tried to accomplish in my life. Juggling windows. I was listening to a Grimes mixtape too, who's band of the week, you know, like Woodsman Ben, the guy who lets me do, because I don't actually have the internet at my house, but so I have to search out a place to do the radio show every week, because I'm actually not allowed to do it at work, or I just close the shop and, you know, stay a little longer, but it's against rules. So, a lot of multitasking, a lot of thoughts going on. And I got one big thought. How are you doing tonight, bud?
I'm doing good. I feel like a loser because, I can't, you know, I really can't do more than one thing at a time, focused. But I watched a video 2 days ago of a kid juggling 3 Rubik's Cubes and solving them as he's juggling them.
What?
It's a video that looks like maybe like 90% it could be real and 10% maybe it's fake, but either way, I was like, I sent that video to a friend of mine who's a juggler, and I asked his opinion on whether or not it was real, and he thought it was. So I was like, that's great. It's like one time I was at a party and I was feeling really good about myself until I met the neighbor who was blind and did whitewater rafting, kayaking, or whatever, and he also whittled all his own furniture in his apartment. So I felt like a real loser, and, just sitting there on the couch with the blind guy who could do everything, you know? That's life, right?
but you're the writer, and you know those guys who are juggling and, like, you know, all those years, and they're reading all those books when they go home doing wine, and they're thinking, man, you know, it'd be so cool to be a writer.
Well, I'm not the blind guy.
Touche.
Yeah. Tonight I had a very eventful night here with Spout, my girl Spout, getting married soon, and we decided to have movie night. We watched the first hour and 10 minutes of the movie Lincoln before we finally realized that he's not going to get shot in this movie, so we shut it off.
That's hilarious. One of the other episodes that we had, my regular guest Sam did his movie review of Lincoln, and it was about 5 seconds, and he said it sucked, and he said it was the worst movie he's ever seen, and he recommended America.
It sucked because this guy did his review. Right? I'm saying, like, the movie takes place in Civil War era, and that's cool, man. They didn't have lights back then, you know. It's really cool, but you ever try to watch a movie where there's, like, no lighting at all for any of the shots? It's like, dude, I can't tell what's going on in any of these scenes. They're just, whatever. Movie sucked.
Oh, God, yeah. And it is one of those movies that the mainstream, the man, he's going to be like, yeah, this movie's great. And, yeah, you know, it's got historical importance, I guess. No one really actually knows. You know, you hear, like, people talk about Abraham Lincoln like they know Abraham. People don't know Abraham Lincoln. Like, do some research, America. I'm not going to get into it, but do some research into Abraham Lincoln. He's not the nicest human being in the world, definitely. But, it's Steven Spielberg. Wasn't it Steven Spielberg?
I think so. I was
Spielberg and Daniel Day-Lewis. I mean, you can smell the pretentious through the movie poster, honestly. Months before the movie even was announced it was being made, I could smell the pretentiousness in the air. Like, it's just those guys, man. Some people out in Hollywood, they really do it right, and some people out in Hollywood are really just, you really know what you're going to get out of the movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Really,
and we were watching it, and there's all these old-time, you know, senators from back then in the movie portrayed by different actors. Tommy Lee Jones is in it. Like, shit like that, you know? So we're watching it, and I say to my wife, who the fuck is this guy? We're, like, trying to figure out who he is. You know, you ever get that? You're watching a movie, you're trying to figure out where they're from. Well, that's, like, her greatest gift. Like, she can tell you, she's not, like, a film buff, and she's not, like, a TV buff, but, like, she can tell you where people are in current stuff from, like, old stuff that I would never think about. I'm like, who is this guy? And she goes, oh, he's the guy from Jurassic Park that gets eaten on the toilet. I'm like, oh, that's him, you know? And it makes sense now. Yeah, it makes sense now because it's a Spielberg movie. So, yeah, you definitely got to bring back the dinosaur toilet guy. You know, he's coming back. You better believe it.
Always. Yeah, no, those same tricks we use, it's like, I mean, you can see tricks from Jaws used in Lincoln. I guarantee you, you know what I mean? Like, just certain ways that scenes are filmed and certain people just don't really, they stick. Like, I mean, like George Lucas, the brilliance of George Lucas in Star Wars, those first three movies, no one had ever seen anything like that. He used stop motion in a way that wasn't like, oh, this is stop motion. He's in a way like, hey, you're on fucking Hoth. You're in the middle of a fucking ice planet watching giant droids walk on the fucking surface of it. But once you start implementing those tactics in, like, modern terms and trying to use those same tricks, but with, like, newer technology, then your cheesiness comes out, a la the last three movies that came out. You know what I mean? Like, you see all the cheesy tricks re-implemented in new ways with CGI, and it makes it not as classic, I guess. I don't know. It makes me angry. It makes me rant about things.
Yeah, I know. Like, all the troubles of the world, and I think the vast majority of my life has been railing against CGI. You know, what a waste of potential things to complain about.
I know. God, if I just imagine the things that, especially, like, if you, myself and Frankie and Dustin all had more time to, like, sit around and, like, read and write and talk all the time, like, I can't imagine the amount of dumb, like, inane, just stupid things that would be just, like, vented and ranted about. Like, I feel like that's just writers in general. Writers just see the world in such a weird perspective a lot of the time that it just, like, comes out in these fucking really poetic, hilarious rants that are really heartfelt.
Yeah, you know, it's cool too when you meet like a writer somebody who's like, that's weird, and I'm like, cool, man. If you think that's weird, I don't think if you think something weird, I really don't think you're not that I'm considering myself too much of a poet, but I'm saying if I ever hear somebody who considers themselves a poet say something's weird, I'm like, I don't know. That's very strange to hear a poet call something weird. They ought to be fucking like the craziest, you know, most bent out of shape people around, you know, them and rappers, I guess. I don't know.
Well, you know, I
monster
think
truck
rappers
drivers
and,
too.
Rappers, poets, and truck drivers. You know, I think that's all. I think they're all the same thing, honestly. At the end of the day, just nomadic creatures who just want to talk and really want to be heard. And you know, a lot of the time they listen to things. You know. They have a good listening ear, and whenever they find something they want to listen to, they intently listen to it. But a lot of the time, I feel like all three of those professions just end up listening to shit all the time. And as we were talking about on your show the other night, you just run into so many people who write. Like, oh, I'm a writer.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really? What have you what have you written?
Yeah, like,
oh,
exactly.
Well, you know.
Yeah. You know, people talk about, I'm writing a novel, I've been writing it for 10 years. The same novel? You've been writing the same novel for 10 years? Get the fuck out of here. No way. I don't believe it.
I've been writing the same novel for about a year and a half, and it's driving me fucking crazy. I hope I'm done with it like in the next, like, week, you know? Like, that's when you know you're talking to a writer, someone who's just fucking, like, trying to eat leather just so they can fucking finish a paragraph, you know?
Yeah.
Like, certain sentences that just get stuck in your fucking spinal cord, and you just got to pop them out. You just can't half the time.
Yeah.
Ugh. How is New
so
York
what's
City?
Going on? What's going on, you know, where you're at? Are you in, you just started
you know
a random friend's house tonight?
I'm in scenic Lakewood, Colorado. Right on the outskirts of Denver, next to the famous Red Rocks, about 10 minutes away, the Red Rocks Amphitheater. It's a very nice little suburb with, I'd like to make a shout-out to Rally Bertos, Mexican food. It's like a It's like one of the few Southern Cali burrito joints around that really holds true to Southern Cali. And as a, I lived in Southern Cali for a short amount of time, and man, their burritos out there, whew, and super fries, which I don't know if you've ever had anything called super fries before, but it's French fries and cheese and beans and carne asada and guacamole, tomatoes and onions and just, oh God, all, oof, sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah, sometimes I just get entranced by these thoughts.
Yeah, just thinking about all this great food. Do you have like photo albums of like old food you used to love and just look at it? Oh, this was a great burrito. I remember this guy. I ate this on. Here's the date. Oh, it's dated. The back of the photo, November 10th, 2003. I remember this burrito.
Oh, dude. I used to, whenever I was a kid, me and my parents and I would go on vacations all the time. Not really like vacations, but just like road trips to like small little cabins and places like that. Like, you know, like really nice, like cheap getaways in the woods and shit. And
yeah.
It was between like, you know, we would go to North Carolina because we have family out there. And then, like, Tennessee and all those states in between Texas and North Carolina. And, man, I had a list of the top 10 cheeseburgers through those regions, like Arkansas.
Oh, that you'd eaten?
Oh,
you kept the list?
Yeah, that I had eaten, yeah. Because there was a few summers, I think. I don't know why the hell my parents were all right with this, but I just only ate cheeseburgers. I think that was, like... I remember actually them having like a pseudo intervention and being like, Andy, you know, you need to eat something different than a cheeseburger. And I'd be like, oh,
yeah.
Fuck that. Like, that doesn't even make sense. Like,
Mom and Dad, I'm 9 and I'm moving out.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, no, that's pretty much the weekly. I did try to move out one time. I ran away, and that was because, like, one, I had this paper due the next day that I didn't want to write because my sister was a bitch. And another one was because I really, really wanted a cheeseburger. I really wanted my brother to make a cheeseburger because my brother worked at, like, Brahms, which was, like, the local cheeseburger and ice cream place. And he made some fucking immaculate cheeseburgers. But my parents... they wouldn't let him cook for some reason. They were like, oh, he's going to burn the house down. I just thought that was egregious. Because, you know, anytime he took care of me, he made the dankest burgers, and my dad would come in and try to make the burgers, and just couldn't compare, man. Really couldn't. I was a fiend.
Yeah.
I really had a problem. I lost some weight whenever I came to that conclusion.
You're like, were you a fat little kid or what?
Oh, man, yeah. I remember my doctor, he saw me whenever I was, like, 18 or something.
Yeah.
He goes, holy shit. He goes, I thought you were going to be fat as fuck. And he didn't say it necessarily in those terms because he's a very nice old gentleman. But, yeah, he was very surprised. I did not. Which, you know, I'm pretty proud of myself. I mean, I think the cheeseburger obsession really died somewhere around, like, probably just a year or two ago, honestly. But I think it lives on now through my writing more so, just the cheeseburger nebula. I just kind of look at pictures now, and that kind of like porn. As most,
yeah, that old,
most
that old nostalgia, you know?
Yeah, no, definitely. You can, it's like we talked to old drug addicts or, you know, old, people who just ate a lot of drugs back in the day, they're just like, you know, if you really meditate, you can get to those states of nirvana thinking about all those drugs. And, you know, I feel that same way about meditating on cheeseburgers, getting those nirvana cheeseburgers. My state.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, that is.
I never felt a deep affinity to any kind of food, really. But I'll tell you a funny story. I used to really like cinnamon. You know, I don't know if you've ever, I don't think it was a regional thing. I know there's a whole breakfast cereal, Cinnamon Toast Crunch, you know that shit?
Oh, shit, yeah.
Yeah, so like actual cinnamon toast, you know, like you toast it and put the butter on and you put the sugar and the cinnamon on, on the bread, you know. It's a real thing, America. It's not just a cereal made by General Mills. It's a real thing. You can make this from scratch.
Yeah. I do that as well. That's one of my favorite breakfast foods, that and a banana.
So I grew up in a campground. We rented a house in a campground, but my parents they worked a lot. My mom worked night shift. My dad worked during the day, so we would be alone after school. And I remember one time I came home and I was cooking for myself, you know. So I was little, man. I was probably like 8 years old or whatever. And I was really proud because I was, you know, my mom had showed me how to cook a few things. And when I say cook, I just mean like turn the oven on and put fish sticks in, or like, you know, how to, you know, fry an egg or something. And the only other thing I knew was Cinnamon Toast Crunch. So I was making this shit, get the bread out, get all this. And I washed my hands. I put the bread in and I hit the button on the toaster and I got fucking electrocuted so bad because my hands were wet from like the toaster shocking me. Like, my hands were, like, stuck on the toaster, and I was just, like, going, ah, 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 and I thought it was a ghost grabbing my shoulders, because I was just a little kid. So I ran down the hallway, and I hid in my room until my dad came home, and I explained to him, you know, I'd been attacked by a spirit.
Oh, man.
And he said, you know, he kind of explained to me, he's like, I think you pretty much electrocuted yourself, and I don't think it's a ghost. And, you know, I fought his logic pretty hardcore. But I know now as an adult that's what happened through the miracles of the internet and vigorous research.
Yeah, man. You know, I saw something the other day that made me chuckle, just on the subject of toasters. And I don't know when other time I would ever be able to bring this up, but America, this is maybe the greatest prank of all time. You get just make a little sign for a toaster and then just put voice activated. And you put it on the toaster and you slide the toaster to the wall so it doesn't look like you can press down on the toaster. You know what I mean? So it just looks like it's a voice activated toaster. You just sit back and you just wait in an office setting for people to just come and yell at this toaster all day. Because, I mean, we live in the age of technology, and people are not going to question this whatsoever. They're going to start questioning when someone's just yelling at a toaster. But, you know, hey, caller, caller,
yo,
another caller,
yo,
K-pop,
hey.
Yo,
hola. I'm late.
Hey, man, we're all late. We're all late to the game, always. What happens when you're a rock star? Show up to party late. I was late.
I'm bloated like Jim Morrison right now. Goddamn, fucking like peach ginger ham. This shit was like off the chain, Holmes. I'm telling you.
That's what's up. Happy Easter, MF. Fucking showing out like Omega Red out here, D-Thon.
I like that shit. You know, I'm a huge fan of Wolverine villains. Like Wendigo, Omega Red, Sabretooth,
Deadpool.
Fuck, man. Yeah. Yep.
Deadpool, actually, whenever I was
Lady.
A kid, my... Sorry, go ahead.
Nope. No, go ahead. You were a kid.
Oh, I was just going to say, whenever I was a kid, I had three action figures that I held very dear to me that I carried around. War Machine, Deadpool, and the Silver Surfer, Mr. Norrin Rad.
Nice.
Carried those around everywhere. And it whittled down to just Deadpool and Silver Surfer. In a little while, it just whittled down to Deadpool. But since my dad was a minister, he didn't actually like me bringing Deadpool with me everywhere that I went. It was a bad end, I guess. But.
The merc with the mouth. A little bit, motherfucker.
Yeah, dude.
I had a friend. I had a friend whose family was Jehovah's Witnesses, and they confiscated all his tapes and burnt them all. And my friend was really upset about it, of course, when he was a kid. And I remember him telling me this when we were like 17, we were like stoned, and he's talking about it. Really traumatized him. And they took all his tapes and they burned them in the backyard. And he was like rattling off like what the tapes were. It was like Def Leppard and fucking just like all these horrible, crappy, you know, late 80s shitty bands. And I was like, wow, that's great that they burnt all those fucking stupid tapes. They all sucked. It was they did you a favor.
Burn. Goddamn, man. That's like sticking a hot poker in a motherfucker's eye after like setting his house on fire. It's awesome.
Yeah, we this guy. Yeah, he's, you know, I don't know though.
Kind of a dick.
If you really love Pour Some Sugar on Me, and it's going to traumatize you that you had to pour some sugar burnt.
I think what you're trying to say is you want to burn our action figures and our comic books is what you're trying to say.
No, just crappy 80s music.
I got a joke for you.
Okay.
What has nine arms and sucks?
What is that?
Def Leppard.
Boom. Yeah. Yeah.
Shout
is that too
Def
soon?
Leppard.
I don't think that's too soon to tell that joke.
No, fuck no. That happened before I was born. Shit.
Yeah. Everybody's got to lose an arm every now and again. Yeah.
Hey. I want to play a song for you because there's been a lot of talk about the Galaxy versus Sabretooth when that book comes out. It's going to be coming out with Year of the Dragonfly's new music and their new album called Year of the Awesome Michael Jordan, which is fucking awesome. But I wanted to play some Year of the Dragonfly for you and for America real quick. Y'all are right with that.
Word.
Fuck yeah. Alright, this is called Mother Mountain. Man, I love Year of the Dragonfly. That's Maddie's like other band besides her like solo project. My roommate and the quote unquote co-host and the guy that runs Tiny Ant with her, Hunter Dragon. Man, they are fucking so good.
And can I start calling him like Mr. Megabus? Can I just like? Can I just start calling him Mr. Megabus?
Yeah, I don't think America knows that the leader of Tiny Ant, Mr. Hunter Dragon, one of the leaders, he did a tour last year with a camping backpack, like a huge backpack, and just in a Megabus, just taking buses around with his huge backpack. Just such a fucking cool, just such a cool way to tour, and such a like economically sound and like Mother Earth thing. So, but hey, we have another the fourth of the Trinity,
the fourth
Quadmigo.
Oh no,
Mr. Dustin Collins.
Hey, I am not late, am I?
No,
you are late.
You're never late.
No, you're not late.
Right on time, brother. Right on time. How you doing tonight?
Cool. I was worried I was going to miss the party, the festivities.
Oh, no, sir. Never. We're always partying. Even if you don't make it into the show, it's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 366 days out of the year.
That's good.
How one extra. Done? Yeah.
Of course.
Well, that's to make up for the leap years, right?
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes. Quadmigos do not acknowledge such trivial fucking like leap years and what have you.
We don't acknowledge anything.
Good point.
Yes, we don't acknowledge a single thing. Who just? I guess we just lost Frankie. Or did you kick him off the air?
He
just got tired of listening
thing.
To his foul mouth and
no,
kicked him
the
off.
Universe
it's probably my fault.
Intervened. I don't know. He'll,
oh, this was this was an act of nature.
Yeah, this was an act of nature. I don't know what happened. He might have gotten fed up. He might have. I don't know.
You think he's pissed?
He might be.
Probably just because I showed up.
I hope he didn't just throw his cell phone through a fish tank.
Yeah, just classic.
Shattered
Frank.
It.
Classic Franklin Metropolis. Well, while he's gone, we could talk about Quadmigo book.
Oh, yes. Actually,
yeah.
Today I spent a good part of my morning formatting your book that's coming out, Galaxy vs. Sabretooth, putting it together, the PDF stuff. It's looking pretty sharp. And looking forward to our collaborative book, you know, all these different.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Wow, it's so cool. The collaborative, I mean, I'm, of course, America and y'all, just very excited about my own book, but just a Quadmigo book is just, I'm just so excited about that, and just all the, just to be working with such talented writers and doing that, it's just so fucking fun. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's fun. I like those like collaborative poems you've been doing.
Yeah,
those are the best. Just when somebody starts off a stanza or whatever, it's like 8 lines, whatever it is, and then you know whoever feels like it jumps in, does another one, and then we just keep going until it's done. It's really cool. And just trying to like
really cool, really humbling too. You know, and like really, it helps us all grow as writers, and it's just so cool. Like I've done a lot of research, especially on like what I would consider like what got me into writing, which is like the Beat Generation and just like how they existed as like a community. And they, as a community, didn't really necessarily do like collaborations and things. Like they would definitely edit and read a lot of their work, but you never would really read like Allen Ginsberg and Jack Kerouac going back and forth line for line on a poem. Like that wasn't I don't know really of any writing collective that I've come across have done that. Maybe you guys can enlighten me on some, but
I don't know of anybody who. I'm sure they're definitely out there.
Yeah,
I'm just
happy.
Ignorant. You know, I just don't know their names. You know.
Yeah, exactly. But it's just such a cool new concept to me. Which, you know, in this day and age, like, it's really hard to do something that you feel like only a select few number of people have maybe done. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's definitely fun. And whenever we do them, I always like write and like draw a lot more than I did like before. It's just sort of like
exactly.
An inspiring process.
Exactly. It pushes you a little bit more to actually create because it reminds you that, you know, other people are reading your stuff, you know, that alone like makes you strive to make more, you know, anytime. Like, and whenever you can reach a broader audience too, that makes you want to just create more just because it's just like more of a voice, you know, and that's just really exciting in general. Just to be able to, for a lot of people to hear, read, or see, or anything, like, it's just, gets you all fanboy.
Well,
gets me all fanboy.
Yeah, I remember a couple years ago, just being like, you know, it's like you write something, and then, like, you just have nobody to, like, help you edit it, or even just to give you critiques, thorough critiques, just because you didn't really know people that did that, you know, and just pretty much stumbling upon the network of people on Facebook and communities revolving around that writer's career. It's great because I just feel like getting involved in that, you can really, I feel like I have no shortage of people. I'll read their stuff, they'll read my stuff and give critiques if we ask, you know, and that's like,
yeah,
starting out writing, that's like invaluable, you know, just finding it is invaluable.
Yeah, no, you guys have, like, helped me so much. I feel like in, like, the time that, like, I've been writing and, like, showing stuff to you guys, I've gotten a lot more better and productive just because, you know,
I exist in
high school
definitely.
In the suburbs. So it's nice to, like, have a community that exists.
Oh, yeah. I feel like high school a lot of the time can be a very drowning force for creativity, too. At least that's how it was for me.
A little bit.
Really, that me a lot of the will to create a lot of the time. So, you know, I'm excited to see where you'll go whenever you graduate too. Just like, shit, whenever you can actually dedicate life to not high school and not KFC as much, you know. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah, like maybe you'll start like a really cool like destructive cult, you know, or something like that.
Yeah. Hopefully. Speaking of destructive cults, I'm really enjoying Tollbooth, bud.
Oh yeah, I sent Dustin was requested to read some of Tollbooth, the book, the novel I have coming out. Just and I'm very happy to pass along to a friend there, you know. I think are you making little art things for it, doing some collages and stuff. That's awesome, man.
Yeah, I was thinking, like, I'd do some, like, drawings, like, for Frankie and Lindsay are going to do, like, a flip book for, like, a couple months in the future.
Oh, so cool.
And, yeah, so, like, he sent me his, and I just made, like, 11 or 12, like, just, like, pen and crayon, like, drawings for him.
Yeah.
And then, like, two covers, and then so, like, I figured I'd do some of that, and then, like, some collages, and maybe, like, a painting. And just send them to you.
That's awesome.
If you can use any of them, go for it.
Yeah. I just, like, I love seeing, like, reactionary stuff, like, to art and novels and stuff. Like, I just think it's cool. You know, you can really keep going with, like, lately I've been kind of, like, obsessing over like, the classic theme, myth, kind of American murder theme. And I wrote a long poem about that. And I like the poem so much, I started writing. I made it into like a novella, you know, like where it's told from. It's the poem stretched out into a novella. And while I'm writing, I like to draw pictures of the shit too. Little sketches of the characters, and it's just fun, you know, all this different stuff. Maybe it's not for everybody else to see, but it's cool, man, to stretch out all these ideas, you know.
Yeah, it's definitely fun, and I like drawing in like reaction to other people's stuff, because like so much of the visual stuff I make, it sort of just like starts reminding me of other things I've made, because there's like sort of like a finite amount of like images sometimes that I have to draw from, so like it just like creates sort of a different product when it's like a reaction to what somebody else is doing, which is a cool experience for me.
Yeah,
so
that was
you.
Like that was like a crazy tip I read somewhere. Not one I really so much like really imply. Maybe I'm doing it now, not really realizing it. But what the tip was, if you're not really sure what you're writing about, what you want to write about, if you want to like write a story or a book or a poem, whatever it is, you can always write your exact reaction to something. Like for instance, if you think the book Catcher in the Rye really sucks. If you didn't like it, your story is just the reaction to the overall general idea of Catcher in the Rye, and that's your story. You know, that's your springing off point. It's that.
That's
like,
cool.
It's a major piece of art. Just the flip of it in your brain, whatever it is, rebelling against it. But that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is.
Fuck yeah, it is. Yeah. I like that idea. Actually, like, I'm going to use that from now on, because I sit here, like, constantly, I don't know about you guys, but, like, whenever, like, for me, there's a huge difference between, like, the mindset between writing, like, prose and writing poetry or whatever. And a lot of times whenever I write poetry, it's, like, a reactionary. I can take myself and, like, put myself into, like, third-person shoes or whatever and, like, just go on gut reaction alone. Maybe I should just, like, start applying that to, like, I like that idea of, like, applying that to, like, short story writing is just writing out your reaction first, like, your natural reaction, and then just, like, leading from there. Oh, that's very interesting. Yeah.
That's cool. Maybe I'll try that, because I have so much fucking trouble, like, writing prose just in general, so maybe I'll try that as, like, a jumping off point or whatever.
It's so much different writing anything. Like, I'm trying to make the adjustment right now from being full-fledged, like, poetry into writing, like, a book. And, like, the book, it was, like, it's, like, it actually happened. You know what I mean? So it's, like, all things. Like, I have the story. I don't know how to necessarily write it without it being some kind of, like, weird hybrid poem, like, weird thing that doesn't necessarily shouldn't be a book. You know what I mean? Like, just like, it's like this really gnarly process of, like, I don't know. It's like making breakfast, pretty much. Like, you gotta like fucking sizzle all the bacon for a while, but you gotta cook them eggs fast. You know what I'm saying? Like,
it's like making breakfast
or
auto-asphyxiating yourself. You gotta do it right.
Yeah, definitely. Like, it is maddening, because, like, there'll be days where I can sit down and write and have, like, oh, this is, like, a good portion of this chapter. And then there are days where, like, yeah, I have, like, this one good sentence out of, like, a sea of just nothingness. Like, it's just, I don't know.
I follow the Nwamba school of writing. I learned this from Nwamba. He told me straight up, like, you know, just don't force it. Like, if it's not coming, fuck it, it's not coming. Like, yeah, just, like, don't force that shit.
I've lived by that for, I think that was, like, my first thing with writing, is I never did force it, and then it just slowly started coming, and then it's, like, started to landslide. But now it's, like, that, like, I have this need to write that book, but it's, like, and it's coming, but it's, you know, it's those days, like, wherever you start writing and you, like, start writing a poem, but you realize that it's not a poem, or you start writing some prose and you realize that it's not prose, it's more of a poem, and then just trying to, like, differentiate all that shit when it comes out.
Let me ask you guys a question I'm sorry, bud, I didn't mean to cut you off there, bro. Go ahead.
Well, my quick input, well, I'll say you guys are all right with all you're saying, but there's definitely a way, if you want to be more productive with your writing, if you want to continuously keep yourself motivated towards writing, especially prose. I mean, like, if you want to keep going with it and you find yourself stuck, the easiest thing you can ever do is, whatever your project is, right, just like approach the simplest little chunk of it. Like whatever you're trying to do right now, man, if you're trying to write your whole book, if you're trying to write a chapter, just approach it from the smallest little place that you're trying to accomplish, whether it's just like a little tiny scene. Think of it like a movie, you know? Like you're writing a small little tiny scene of a guy drinking a cup of coffee, talking to the waitress and that's all you're trying to write. If you accomplish that, you're good for the day. And you're going to build up momentum. You'll build up momentum, and before you know it, you'll look back and you'll be like, I can't believe how much I've written this week, just by breaking it up into really little small chunks, instead of like letting it overwhelm you where you're just like, man, this is supposed to be an 80,000 word book. That's my goal, and I'm really stuck at this point, and it gets to be a lot after a while. That's my only thoughts on that.
Count the words. It's interesting. I'm glad you mentioned that because, I was talking about this today, man. I'm like, I really like to cook. And I get more, lately, I'll be honest with you guys, like, I haven't really been, like, writing, like, prose or anything like that, which is, like, my first love. But, like, just because, I don't know, I don't feel, like, the drive to it anymore. And today, like, I felt like I had written, like, a 60-page novel just cooking. And I was just wondering, have you guys ever heard of, like, writers, like, quitting writing and, like, picking up stuff like cooking and stuff like that? Like, how often does that kind of shit happen, would you say?
Oh, that happens. Well, I mean, all the time. I mean, there's a writer every day who quits. And there's a cook every
day. And then decides
day.
He's going to be, like, a fucking, like, auto repairman because he just likes that so much better. And shit like that.
Yeah, well, I got a really good story about this, but I don't know.
Go for it, bud.
Well, the thing is, I don't want to ruin. I'd ruin something really great, and I want you guys to all go watch the movie Searching for Sugar Man.
I love Searching for Sugar Man.
You guys all saw that?
I saw that.
I haven't seen that.
I guess it was like the best documentary last year. I think it won at Cannes or whatever it did. I saw it won somewhere. Best documentary. Yeah, that movie was fucking crazy. And it's in a way, it's about totally about somebody just kind of walking away from their art and living an unassuming life. But you're talking more about like somebody that you stop writing and now you're going to go and be a sculptor. You're going to paint and you're going to cook. And I think creativity is creativity, and it's all the same. I get as much, or if not more sometimes, satisfaction from making music. You know, I haven't really done too much of that, but I used to be obsessed with that. I used to be like, my thing was I always wanted to be playing the guitar. I always wanted to be writing a song, but I haven't felt that way in probably 4 years, really, like, thinking that way. But, yeah, I've walked away from that, and maybe some people I used to think that was my thing. When I talk to them now, they're like, how is it that you're not in a band anymore? They're like, it used to be my whole life, you know? So, yeah, I could totally understand walking away from writing.
I'd be honest with you guys. Like, you might just hear it from me one day. I might just be like, fuck all this shit. I'm going to be a goddamn cordon bleu chef. And that's it. Because I don't know, man. Like, writing for me personally, like, I've been, like, writing since I was, like, fucking 13 and shit, and, you know, it's always been there for me and shit like that. I walked away from it, like, once or twice, and always end up coming back, but, you know, like, I guess the reason I brought it up was because, like, it seems writing is such, like, anytime you really get into it, you got to be super passionate about it, and you really got to put your heart and soul into it, and just, I'm wondering if that's any easier to leave that sort of medium of creativity as opposed to, like, other fields, like just being, like, an artist or a musician or something like that, you know?
Well, see, I think...
Is there a deeper connection there?
I think a part of you would die. You know, that'd be my personal input. There was a couple years ago where I was, you know, going through that, like, do I want to... Because, like, at some point I want to possibly become a doctor, either become a doctor or just travel, one of those two things. Like, I know I can do more than just write or draw or any of that. I know I can help people in a certain way, but it's one of those things where you've got to, like, really, really dig down and, like, answer a few questions. And one of those main questions is, like, will you be happy where you are 10 years from now in this society without a certain amount of things that you've seen or like a certain amount of experiences that you've had? Like, and for me personally, I don't think I would be able to do 7 to 10 years of school right now. Maybe even 10 years down the road, do 7 to 10 years of school without being able to travel all the time or go somewhere. And it's one of those things that leads me where, like, you know, is it selfish of me to not help humanity, or is it the best thing that I can do for humanity is to be one of those people who just does whatever the fuck he wants and just never apologizes for it and doesn't really help anybody besides just, you know, the things that, you know, you do in your day-to-day life, the only small accomplishments that you can do. So, I don't know.
Amen, blood. Fuck, yeah.
It's an interesting...
Dustin, what about Dustin, man? Like, Dustin, you're a fucking goddamn prodigy. You think you'd be any different without writing?
Yeah, I mean, I'd definitely be, like, fucking different. I played, like, when I was, like, little growing up, I played basketball for, like, 7 years. It was super intense about sports and basketball, and I'd, like, stay up watching basketball games and listening to them on the radio and shit. And that was, like, what I did. And then in the eighth grade, I broke my thumb and then decided that I liked poetry better, I guess.
Nice.
It was like, fucking thing was like, my thumb was broken. I didn't even break it in a game. I broke it in a practice. Like, I jammed my thumb on a basketball, and it turned out it was broken. And so I was out for, like, the season of my eighth grade year, and I thought, well, fuck it. I guess I won't play basketball in high school either. And so I just decided poetry
now.
Sounded fun. Yeah. So
that's
it was, like,
awesome.
Just, like, this fun reversal. Awesome. From, like, I spent so much goddamn time playing, like, basketball. And then I decided, like, now I'm in plays and poetry and all that shit.
It's
so
different thing. It's different things.
Yeah.
I had a hard time with
happy or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
I used to really like playing music because I thought, like, well, I can record an album and I didn't give a crap if anybody else listened to it. Just, it was like, meant a lot to me to have it, like, kind of documented, where I felt like art was that way, you know. So I thought that way about music. You could record songs, and I really wanted to make an album. It used to be like, you have to go to the recording studio and spend like $2,000, you know. Now everything is, you can do it on your computer
what?
For free. You know, forget about writing. You can make a book. You can make a book in an afternoon if you want. Especially like a chapbook of poetry. Put it all together, and all of a sudden it's online. You can buy it on Amazon and all that shit. So imagine that. You know,
I see it every day. I mean, well, we were talking like last night. Like, this whole Andrew's book is like, we've been working on this, like, off and on for, like, a month or so like that, but, like, it really came together, like, I don't know, within the last couple of days. It's really just, like, put itself together really well and easily. And talking about how this shit is, like, so much easier to put together than, I don't know if it's, I don't want to, like, cheapen the effort of, like, putting together books and stuff like that, because, I mean, it does take a lot of stuff. I mean, anybody that's put books together and whatnot, you guys understand, like, it's just kind of rough putting it together. I don't know. It just makes it... I guess what I really want to say is, and I appreciate the goddamn Quadmigos and making it so easy to put together this book, and for the fact that, like, we're all some multifaceted motherfuckers and we just put all of our brains together and come out with some weird shit like we do.
Yeah,
love you guys, man.
I think... Definitely. I think it's more so just, like, a bunch of people who finally, like, found each other working together towards a common goal, you know what I mean? And then the universe just kind of did its job to unite us all and send us down on that course that we were already all presently on, but just needed, you know, we needed Bud's guidance, and then, you know, mine and Dustin's youth and your tenacity, Frankie, and then just like the combining effort of, like, bringing all of us together in those various ways with the Literary Underground, especially Michelle, you know, a part of all this, like, just, man, just a lot of crazy factors, honestly. The pure fact that Justin, you're just down the road, you know, and both of, I mean, we're both just busy as shit, so we can't ever see each other, but whenever...
Yeah, hold up, there's a bookstore here in Longmont that, like, I don't know, we should do a reading at sometime, because they're super nice people, and they've got, like, I don't know, I picked up last week a book by R.L. Raymond and stuff, so they've got, like, a lot of, like, neat, independent, like, books and shit, so we should do that.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely down. I'm thinking about taking a few copies of Galaxy vs. Sabretooth and just, like, going to, like, bookstores around town and just putting them on shelves and, you know, in the right section. Because I don't fucking need people to buy it or something. It needs to get into the right person's hands, you know?
Yeah. That makes sense.
We're going to have plenty of copies, and they're going to be going around all over the goddamn country if I got to show them people's cities and, like, stuff them in the motherfuckers' mouths myself. Galaxy vs. Sabretooth, I'm just going to go ahead and say it. This goddamn book is, like, pretty intense. It's the first virgin project of Clefjaw Press, and if this is any sign of things to come, motherfuckers better get your shit ready, because we're coming, and we're coming for you. Straight up. I'm not mincing words anymore, man. Like, we're out to fucking destroy at this point. Like, we've got a lot of shit on the lineup for this year alone, and next year is just going to get even better. So.
Oh, yeah. Crazy.
Fuck it, ain't.
Crazy when you approach underground small poetry presses like Suge Knight approaches record companies. That's when you know shit's intense.
I gotta, like, you know, I will hold a motherfucking editor outside a window. You best believe I will. Best believe it.
I think
that's who I want to be represented by. Amen.
Dangling him out a window. Perfect.
Oh, yeah. I'll straight up dangle you by the, like, shreds of your jeans. I'll just hold you by a pinky and a thumb.
Oh, man. He's only writing some poems.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta be cold in this shit, you know?
Not your fruit press, motherfucker.
So, speaking of,
I'll show up with,
ominous,
like, 20 booked out people and, shit.
Speaking of ominous events outside my window, yesterday morning, I'm in my little office down here, and my wife, Ray, Spout, she's down at the other end in the bed, sleeping on the other side of the apartment, and we can hear out the window this loudspeaker. There's a vehicle driving around because somebody was abducted by a van on the corner, and they're, like, driving around asking for people to come forth with information, and I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Which happened, right? Or happened. It was a college kid, got abducted in an unmarked van at a gunpoint and taken away. And they have like surveillance videos of the guy, I guess, in a ski mask and an unmarked white van here in the city. And it was crazy. I was like, holy fuck. I feel like
they're snatching fools off the streets.
So was that you, or Frankie, was that you, or?
You best believe it, man. I got eyes and ears and extremities all over this fine country of ours, sir. You know, I'm an all-American babe, as Mr. William Seward Bonney said, you know.
Oh, so you have, like, different splinter cells of that's fucked up, man.
Hey, man, you know, like, about 6 years ago, I went to a sperm bank. I went to a sperm bank about 6 years ago. It turned out to be, like, a stem cell research facility, actually, but I went there, and I told them specifically, I was like, I'll give you guys, like, what I got, you know what I'm saying? But if there's some babies that come out of this, I want them to be foot soldiers straight up. And
it's awesome.
They hooked that shit up, man. Like, I didn't even have to pay extra for it or anything. Like, I got 60 foot soldiers out of the first cup alone.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Can you imagine how many foot soldiers in a cup, sir? Imagine
secret
that.
Secret of those.
Like a million. It'll be over a million if they all do.
Exactly. I'm all over the country, sir. That's all I'm saying.
Cuffy, do you have anything to add to this? How do you feel about
I don't know,
foot soldiers? Are you fearing any of
that? Like
I'm actually scared. I'm looking at my window now.
Yeah, scared, man. It's like Tony 2012, except Frankie. You know, you've got like a little army of like child soldiers.
Yep, and they all got dreadlocks, motherfucker. Watch out.
Sweet.
I'm going to write a play, or more so just like maybe a movie, but probably a play, maybe like a Broadway show, of like this guy who has like 12 kids. They're like the 12th, I don't know what you would call it, 12 puppets, like 12 children all born simultaneously.
Jesus Christ.
He trains each of the child in a different weapon, in a different form of like, you know, hand-to-hand combat. And on their 12th birthday,
and he names them all after a month or month of the year?
Well, yeah, month out of the year, and then like, I'll work out the details at some point. On their 12th birthday, it's like a giant gladiator match.
Like Hunger Games shit.
Exactly.
And the winner gets to go to college.
Yeah, well, the winner.
Oh, yeah!
The winner gets to go to college. But then, of course, the tragic ending, and the kids end up killing each other, the last two.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, of course, and, you know, then the
father. And
there's
no tuition money.
The last two should secretly be lovers.
They make a suicide pact. No, Papa, we're not going to kill each other. And they just eat.
That's awesome.
Kill themselves.
Can they be wearing like Vulcan ears like the entire time or something like that?
Dude,
like,
of course, this will
just like rubber
Vulcan
ears.
This will just be, you know, I've
and,
actually
like,
always.
By hat.
I'm gonna.
Yeah,
they should also be
the,
like a barbershop quartet. Except,
well, I like that. I'm gonna quit the quote unquote beat poetry life and just start writing Star Trek fan fiction, and hopefully get a series picked up. So I'm right with
you.
Dude, I honestly have in my mind a couple of different, like, Star Trek, like, all right, let's say the Enterprise gets caught up in a wormhole, and they just go back in time, and it ends up being in a galaxy far, far away, if you catch my drift. Star Trek in Star Wars, Enterprise fighting fucking Sith.
Huh. I just want to write an epic poem. Sort of like Beowulf. It'll be like Beowulf 2, but it'll be about the love child of Captain Kirk and Patti Smith.
Ooh,
and
incredible.
Ooh.
Wow. Wow.
Ooh.
Wow.
I like that.
Wow.
Patti Smith gets mentioned in every one of these Literary Underground shows, every single one. Especially when I talk to women from New York who are 40 years or older. They all have to mention Patti Smith.
Well,
that's a really,
I guess the secret's
right
out. I'm a 40-year-old woman from New York.
I knew it, Dustin Holland.
I know you're not from New York. You had to be a 40-year-old woman from New York. The only lot.
I knew it, man. He's wearing one of those Scooby villain suits when we met him in Denver.
Yeah.
Like straight up, like just pull the whole thing off, and it's not even a kid. It's just like a puma that's into Patti Smith.
Jinkies, gang. It wasn't Dustin at all.
This is very interesting.
What an incredible turn of events tonight. The Quadmigos always get to the bottom of things.
We made it a
deep
discovery.
We should have our own
tonight.
Like private eye business.
Man, we could have a private eye business. That would be incredible.
Just solve mysteries that don't exist.
A nationwide private eye chain that stretches like all across this great country of ours.
Well, you've got all your foot soldiers, man.
Or we could like just become volunteer firefighters and start fires, you know.
Well,
I like
that
idea
too.
Yeah.
That's kind of.
Well, we could be.
I want to do that.
We could be volunteer firefighters who have a torta truck, like a torta food truck.
Yeah, man, I saw, like, we passed by a fire station in Santa Monica, like, last weekend or something like that, and that was, like, one of the things I was thinking about. I was like, man, I should have been a fucking firefighter. I would have totally been a firefighter in, like, Los Angeles and shit like that.
I've been lighting
blunts. Cool.
on the house fires and then fucking watering those fires with fucking high pressure hoses while smoking that blunt. I'd be like, fuck fires.
Like fucking Kurt Russell in Backdraft, only like I'm more chill. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Kurt Russell and fucking Escape from New York, Snake Plissken on the fire.
Whenever I watch a Kurt Russell movie and Goldie Hawn's not in it, I don't like. I don't know what's going on though. I'm always like, why is Goldie Hawn overboard? I'm like, where is she? I keep looking for her. I'm like, wait a second. I get it. They're in Antarctica. They're fighting an alien. But where is Goldie Hawn? You know, I'm like just looking around.
She is an alien, bro. She is an alien.
Yeah. Well, guys, listen, I want to wish you all a very happy Easter. And I think I'm going to have to exit the show at this point of the evening. Happy Easter. I hope you all guys got all your eggs and stuff or whatever you usually get.
I got all my wishes.
I didn't put any eggs, Dustin.
What?
Did you get all your eggs, Dustin?
No, man. I had to work today.
Dude.
Motherfucking KFC. I had like a chicken leg, and then. And like a biscuit, but by the time I got on my break, the biscuits had been like sitting out for like. Much longer than they're like allowed to be sitting out, but
you got a biscuit.
I'm bad at my job.
You got it.
Good news though, everyone. Jesus came out of his tomb and did not see his shadow, so we are officially in spring.
Nice. Oh, I thought that meant we had like 20 more years before Armageddon or something.
I got called Jesus today, straight up. I'm not even fucking kidding, you guys. I got called fucking Jesus today.
Well, that's more logical than whenever I get called Jesus, just because I have long hair and a fucking beard. Jesus, logically, in the fucking geographically, he was more than likely either black African or he was Middle Eastern Muslim. Like, there's no fucking way.
I never
saw
no pictures of Jesus with fucking dreadlocks and shit, man. It tripped me out. You know what I'm saying? Like, one minute I'm Bob Marley,
the
next minute I'm Jesus.
All the Jesuses that you see are Caesar Borgia, which is the sixth son of Pope Alexander. Like, that's some straight, that's some real knowledge on y'all. Look it up.
Goddamn. Dropping bombs on this motherfucking show.
I've got a short-haired Jesus with, like, a beard who's really muscular and, like, bloodier than he should be, like, hanging near my wall. He was handed to me by a stranger, and so I'm saving him for a collage. But he looks like he's reading something, like someone, like, on the ground out of the frame is, like, holding up a magazine for him to read or something. But he doesn't look like he likes it very much. Like, it's 50 Shades of Grey and he disapproves or some shit. But
we need that Jesus for Clefjaw, straight up. That
sure,
sounds like
Jesus.
Clefjaw
so awesome.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Clef Jesus.
Clef Jesus. Oh, no. Guys,
yeah.
I gotta go. I got some stuff to do real quick.
Double dragon out this bitch. I heard you.
Word. Goddamn, man. It's really good hanging out with you motherfuckers and everybody that's listening, man. 4-20-1-3 Andrew Boglin / William fucking Sewer Bonnie Galaxy versus Sabretooth Clefjaw Press. It's coming for you. And motherfucker, if you ain't ready for it, we'll just swallow you up. Rawr.
Yep.
I'm out.
Outie. Damn.
Bye.
Frankie Metropolis. That was real. Well, Dustin, I'm about to play some music. How do you feel about that? You ever heard of Javelina?
I feel like I should have, but I don't know that I have.
Javelina is a good friend of mine down in Albuquerque, and she's on Tiny Amp Records. I think you'll like her. Her real name is Emma. And she's beautiful and awesome. So, you'll definitely like her. All right, here we go. This is from her Day Trotter mix where I follow.
I did a bad thing. I went
Right? She's so awesome.
Yeah, that was incredible. What's that called again?
Her name is Javelina, and that's off. Her and my roommate Madeline, who runs Tiny Amp, went on tour for America last year. And out in, like, I think it's Chicago, there's a studio called Daytrotter, where touring bands just go and cut little one or two, three song, like, CDs. And that was from her little mix there that she did on their tour. Yeah, it's...
That's really great.
Her and Maddie, they're, like, best friends from Santa Fe, and they're like my favorite human beings ever. Just amazing people. Just sit around all day and listen to them, like, strum the guitar, and, you know, it's, like, perfect, like, background music to, like, write, and I don't know, it's just amazing. It really is to have that kind of people around you.
Yeah, that's great.
But what do you got in the works this week, Mr. Holland?
Well, I'm on spring break, thank God. So I'm like at the Denver Art Museum. Well, you probably know this. There's a Georgia O'Keeffe exhibit. So
mm-hmm.
I'm gonna try to see that.
Awesome.
And then,
fuck yeah, I love Georgia O'Keeffe. She's
really great.
Yeah, I had some of her work growing up at my house. Not like any original or anything, but
right.
You know, prints and stuff. And it's always she's an amazing artist.
She's really cool.
She's from Santa Fe, right? Like Santa Fe.
I think so, somewhere around
California
there.
Area. Yeah, some New Mexico.
Like, yeah.
Rocky Mountain time zone stand up.
Yeah.
And Left Jaw. Which, by the way, man, that last issue was fucking dope as hell. That is so cool to see, like a underground magazine on computer.
Really,
you know what I mean? Like, just, like,
yeah,
really
turned out.
Yeah, no, you guys, you should be fucking proud. It was fucking awesome. I was like, and I'd like to say America Cleftjaw is accepting submissions for their second issue, which I will be, of course, submitting to very soon.
Good.
Which
yeah,
I sent you my I guess it was in our group chat today, my biography for the book. Very.
Oh, cool.
I've decided that I can't be long and wordy like a lot of these writers out here are very long and wordy when describing themselves. Have you noticed that?
They are. Yeah. No. I don't have enough to say. Like, I feel
I
like. I just,
like, how do you.
Like,
I
don't know, man. There's, like, I'm not going to list every place I've been, like, published in. There aren't that many, first of all. And, like, if people want to find out, they can, like, read the whole magazine or something, you know?
Yeah, no. I was talking to Bud earlier today, and he was like, yeah, do you want to list your Tumblr, your Twitter, you know, like, your contact info? And I was just like, No, not really. Not at all. I don't really want to, you know, because if people really, we live in that information technology. If people really want to find out about you or me, and then they can just
type
our name into Google. Yeah, exactly. Like,
yeah.
It's
it doesn't
not
even take
those,
that much work.
Yeah, like, I'd much rather have an authentic product than a shameless promotion and a watered-down product. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, and, like, the product that you have, like, is so good. Like, I'm so excited for your book to come out and, like, really psyched to just, like, hold it because, man, like, all those poems you sent Frankie and I, like, I wanted to put all of them in, but we decided to, like, narrow it down. But you're fucking great, man.
Man, I really appreciate that. That's really humbling. I really appreciate that. Like, fucking, I'm still so shocked by all those poems that got chosen because I didn't even, those are like, there's about 38 poems that I wouldn't have personally chose, but, you know, after rereading
really?
It, like, I love it. Like, that's, you know, like, that's how it should be, you know what I mean? Like, and then with now the Quadmigo book, that means, like, those poems that weren't chosen for that are going to be in there, and that, you know, just the pure fact that everything's going to be used at some point or another is just, it's awesome. And I just love that someone actually, you know, I have, like, a huge catalog of shit that I've done over the past few years, and that's just because I like to sit on things. I don't like to hand out my work, you know what I mean? Like, it's a really precious thing to me. So the pure fact that I've had a place to be able to send it and have it, like, channel through is really nice. It's really...
Oh, I bet, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I can't wait till you get to a point where you can send, like, me and Frankie and Bud a bunch of stuff, and we can all edit it and then do this whole process for you, you know? Like, it's gonna be...
That'd be cool. Actually, like, I've got a manuscript that's, like, 110 pages of poems that I sent... I, like, made up a literary agency and, like, made up a fake email account and stuff and, like, used that to send to, like, HarperCollins and all these, like, big presses kind of as a joke. But, yeah, so maybe I'll just send that to you guys at some point and ask you to edit.
Oh, yeah, you should. I mean, that would be, like, you know, I'm you and Frankie are the brains of Klepjaw, but, I mean, I feel like... You know, I'm definitely
everybody in this whole, like, group is, like, super, super, like, good, I feel like. I'm so lucky that you guys hang around.
Exactly. Well, I mean, John Swain, I mean, like, Jason Hartman especially. Like, geez, like, the amount of talent, and the amount of talent that I haven't even, you and I have never even met. Like, Frankie is a badass, can make it out to all these shows, and, like, half the time, I'm sitting back, like, really wishing that I could, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, no, I've only been to one of them, you know, I was at the one in Denver, but, you know, all the others, I just, like, look at the pictures of on Facebook and think that would have been neat, but instead I went to AP Statistics for a week or whatever the hell.
Yeah, well, Michelle and I, a couple months ago, started talking about doing together for Chicago out in, late June, I think. And I'm also, I just started talking to, it's funny, I was talking about this earlier. We had a concert, a Tiny Amp show, not last night, but the night before, and a band from Austin called The Hikes were staying at our house. Good friends of Maddie's, good friends now, good friends of mine. They left us a zine from down in Austin. And I have a friend down in Austin who was telling me that she was just, you know, put in the zine, and then, like, bada bing, bada boom, it's this zine that ends up at my house, and, you know, it's one of those. Oh, so I got to talking to her last night and some other friends in Austin. I want to get, like, a poetry slash, you know, music show going on down there pretty soon.
Cool.
So, you know, it's one of those things where, like, Literary Underground, Klepjaw, it is such, like, a huge expansive thing to, like, put, like, a cap on it as, like, you know, it's yours or mine. It is kind of unfair to do it. We are. Yeah, it really is everybody. And it's really cool
to
see.
And it's growing.
Like, it is. And it's only going to get bigger. And especially, I feel like you and I, like, I feel like really blessed that, you know, we're both two young-ass kids as compared to, you know, not saying that everybody's old, but, you know, everybody's
older than
more
us,
wiser and experienced. Older than us, definitely. I just can't believe I have a forum like this where you and I can come on here and, like, there are actually people who will be listening to this. That's humbling.
Yeah.
You know?
That is cool. We've got to find, like, a time or whatever to just, like, hang out and do some poetry stuff in person or whatever.
Yeah, I definitely need some help on, like I was saying earlier, with this book that I'm writing, with everything. Because I'm writing, you know, the Quadmigo book and then Galaxy vs. Sabretooth. Both are with y'all, but I'm going to be releasing a book of poetry this summer, hopefully in July. That's the aim day right now. It's called Study. It's just like a series of poems that are just like, none of them have names. It's just 1 through 100, and they're all just studies about just life and things. And
that
I definitely
sounds
am going to need some help with that, you know, because I want it to be like a really, like, made-to-order kind of book, you know what I mean? Like, just a few copies for some close friends and, you know, like, just
something
that's really personal to me, so. definitely going to with that. And also, I've started talking with some visual artists around here. I want to do some, like video, like get a good YouTube presence for Literary Underground. So get some – we definitely need to get some readings going around out here, especially with getting back in contact with Jason Hardung, you know, and some other local poets. And,
yeah, because they're, like –
stuff filmed, and it would be really, really fun, really cool to do.
It would be. It would be. And they're, like – it turns out at this bookstore that, like – I talked about it earlier. There's, like, on the third Thursday of every month now, there are going to be open mic nights and stuff. So it's, like, it's funny. It just seems like the timing for so much stuff is, like, perfect, you know?
Yeah. Well, let's carpe diem. Let's seize those moments. But we've only got 10 seconds left, so thank you for being on the show, Mr. Hollis.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for having me.
Space tomorrow.
Sounds
yeah,
good.
Dude, anytime. Later, brother.
Very cool. Have a good one.
And you, America, please take it easy. I love you. Thank you for calling in. Thank you for listening. This is Earl presents Tiny Ant versus the Literary Underground. Next week, probably going to do some cool shit. Fuck yeah.